On the show, we've been profiling some of this year's entries into the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry. Every year, 25 pieces are chosen for the registry based on their historic or aesthetic importance. This week, REM and Radio Free Europe. That song's familiar to rock fans from REM's first album, Murmur, in 1983. The version being preserved, though, was recorded earlier. It was the band's first single on the Tiny Hibtone label, and it came out right when indie music was breaking away from punk and new wave to become its own sound. To tell the story of Radio Free Europe, we have the man who recorded it.
My name is Mitch Easter. I'm a recording engineer, record producer, and a guitar player.
The radio station manager in Athens, Georgia, who helped make it popular.
My name's Mike Henry, and I worked at the college radio station in Athens, Georgia, that first played REM's music before anybody else did.
And one of the musicians.
I'm Mike Mills. I'm the bass and keyboard player for the band REM. We had written Radio Free Europe, and I guess we wrote the song Sitting Still at about the same time, and we were looking for some way to put them out. So we got together and said, okay, let's make this single. And one of the main reasons we recorded it was to have a calling card, if you will, to send to clubs and say, this is what we sound like. We'd like to play your club. What do you think?
I saw the first live show that REM ever did at a club. The next day, I believe it was, Jefferson Holt, who was their manager at the time, came up to the radio station and gave me a cassette tape that was recorded off the soundboard from that show, which I still have. The crowd went nuts. Everybody, all 20 or 30 people, whatever it was, just started this pogo-like up and down jumping. I'd never seen anybody dance like that before.
You know, you see the old videos of them, and they are really tearing it up. They were very energetic, and they were always good, you know, as far as I can tell, because when they came in to do that single, I think they'd been together maybe not even a year, you know, and they were just real together. They had, like, the classic band van. It's like you would just see that van, and you go, yeah, that's probably got a band in it, or it's got some guys, you know, on their way to go fishing, you know, the sort of kind of beat-up van, you know. The bands, I mean, that's what they did. They did the absolute classic thing of just playing all the time and building up a real audience.
At the time, everything basically that college radio was playing was alternative. The whole point of college radio was to play the bands that couldn't get onto commercial radio.
You know, we got Radio Free Europe on Hiptone Records when it first came out, and obviously we played the heck out of it, and everybody wanted to know, including us, what is he saying?
The song, what is it about? Well, actually, Peter liked the phrase Radio Free Europe. And he said, Michael, write a song titled Radio Free Europe. And so Michael did. And at that point, Michael's lyrics were non-linear, shall we say. You know, we were all about the sound of the voice as an instrument. Music is all about creating an image in your head. You know, Michael could have basically, you know, sang the phone book or sang no words at all. He did it in a very abstract, nonlinear manner.
You know, I saw them change Athens and be a part of the groups of people that changed Athens from, a redneck southern town to a really hip, cool music town. Athens in a very rural setting and a very rural identity was completely changed by REM and Love Tractor and B-52s and Pylon, and embraced them. And a town full of overalls and trucks, you know, became accepting of these kids.
And everything had this great kind of down-home vibe back then. You know, everybody was aware of this sort of new outlet with college radio and this sort of post-punk club scene that had popped up, you know, and it had this ethic of working fast and cheap, and that was perfect because I had a pretty humble setup, and this all worked together very well. I guess one thing that's interesting about the Radio Free Europe single is that it really is almost like those guys, you know, going around and recording the blues guys, you know, in the hotel lobby, I mean, in a way, because even though I was saying my place was a studio, it was really a garage, and it was a small garage at that. I was, you know, 26 or something, and I already knew that most things sync without a trace, no matter how good they are. So the fact that that single is even talked about anywhere on the planet is shocking to me, much less, you know, to know that it's got some sort of, like, historical status officially. That is a real mind-blower.
The thing about music is if you're successful and you get, you know, some things recorded or at least some things written, like in the sense of classical music, that can stand through time, it's really one of the only shots at immortality that people have. Those are the things that, you know, theoretically will live forever. And it's, you know, it's kind of touching. It's an honor to be part of something that may last at least for a long time, if not forever.
Mike Mills of REM. We also heard Mitch Easter and Mike Henry. Ben Manila and Media Mechanics produced our story. And we've also got a special treat for serious REM fans.
Happy birthday, John Snell, owner of Tyrone's.
At Studio360.org right now, you can stream the audio of REM's very first gig at Tyrone's OC in Athens, Georgia in 1980. It has all kinds of rare gems, like this pre-country version of Don't Go Back to Rockville.
Don't go back to Rockville.
This is a recording that has never before been released to the public. And after you rock out to REM some more, you can also hear a story about Silver Apples of the Moon, which is a groundbreaking electronic music piece that was also just added to the registry. It is all at Studio360.org.